right, good morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning. Appreciate you worship team this morning. Great job and leading us to what it looks like to be a follower of Christ, and appreciate your ministry. Seriously, I was given some good advice this morning. You'll appreciate this from one of the So I could tell he wanted to say something, so right away you're thinking, this is Zion you're talking about. So Zion comes up to me, and he says, you know, you got the sermon today? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I'm going to tell you what I tell my dad. Don't be an idiot. So I said, okay, don't be an idiot. We'll see how that works out for us this morning, but that's, of course, Zion. You know, as we come to Ephesians 3 this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, we're going through the book of Ephesians this summer, and we're doing a series called From Death to Life. From Death to Life. And you know, when you think of a lot of Paul's writings, he'll start out with some strong doctrine, some strong teaching, and he does that in his epistles, he does that in the book of Romans. And what he does next then, he'll give you the teaching, and then he'll give you how you apply it. The application. So the first three chapters are all teaching about, the church and the mystery, which we'll talk about today. But then he goes into the practical. And, of course, it's a lot sometimes easier to talk about the practical, but you can't get to that until we get to chapter 4. So, but we'll try to make some practical points this morning. This today, though, we're on these journeys at different times. And I know when we think of these journeys, there's sometimes interruptions. And they come in different ways. I know for me, you know, I'll seek to get my quiet time and have my time with the Lord and connect with Him. But then distractions come up, you know. The phone will ring. Or you'll start thinking about your day and who you need to call and that type of thing. And when you do that, you lose your focus. And of course, what helps, is meditation and also Bible memory. And I say that in introduction because that's kind of where it seems like Paul's at this morning. He reads or he shares verse 1, Ephesians chapter 3. And it looks like he's about to pray and to get into some serious prayer, but then he goes off on like a rabbit trail. And really, that's what verses 2 through 12 are all about. And then he goes back to the prayer, which Brian will cover next week in verse 13. But it's kind of interesting how we look at that. Of course, this is a holy rabbit trail. It's a biblical, it's an inspired rabbit trail that we look at this morning. You know, Paul lived out the mission that God gave him. This is our introduction. A challenge that's here in this first part of chapter 3. And you know, as followers of Christ, we all need to realize that we have been made for a mission. Our ministry is to follow this mission. And the Lord has given each of us that individually. So we're all on mission, every one of us. So that's our ministry. Now, a lot of times, well, that's why you're a minister. That's why you get paid. That's why you have staff. Let the pastors, let the ministers do it. But you know, as I look at Scripture and as I look at people who choose to follow Christ, we're all ministers that are seeking to follow Him. And you know, I was thinking about this idea of ministry and what is ministry. And one of my favorite Bible teachers is Warren Wiersbe. I don't know if you've heard of Warren Wiersbe, but he's with the Lord now. He would be well into his hundreds. But he did this series, and it started out, I believe, in 1 John way back when he was, and they were called the B series, like be mature, be godly. And then someone, probably he was part of this, but they put this B series into like, I think it's a 5-volume set, isn't it, Christian? And I'll tell you, if you want to buy some good books, you can probably get them on CBD for under 100 bucks. But this 5-volume series, I don't get any commission on this, by the way. But this is a great tool for Bible study. In fact, about every Bible study I do or every sermon I put together, I reach for Wiersbe. Let me see what my friend Wiersbe has to say. Because he takes chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and it just kind of helps us. But here's his definition of ministry. Yeah, even Christian has these books. So that's kind of cool, isn't it? In fact, you go to all the pastors except Brian. You know, I guess he's Brian, you know. He doesn't have them, but we all have this series, and it's really cool. So good purchase, by the way. But this is what he says about ministry, and I love how he defines this. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels for the glory of God. It's just so good. Divine resources from God, meet human needs through loving channels, that's us, to the glory of God. Ministry. So we all have that ministry to put Jesus on display with our lives. And we have that ministry in our church, in our workplace, in our homes, and we're to be doing ministry. We're to be about our Father's ministry. So here in chapter 3, we notice the ministry that I believe God's called all of us to here this morning. And these ministries are to be part of that mission we're called to. So there's six truths that are part of our mission today that I'd like us to consider. Here's the first one. My mission requires following the will of Christ. Following the will of Christ. And we get this in verse 1 of chapter 3 and verse 13 of chapter 3. So Paul says, for this reason, verse 1, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. All right, and then jump down to verse 13. It says, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. So he starts this passage, and he talks about his sufferings, his idea of what he's dealing with, the condition he's in. In fact, he calls himself a prisoner here. He says, I'm a prisoner. And then he goes from being a prisoner, and because of that, there's afflictions that go along with it. And he says, okay, so I'm a prisoner, I have these afflictions. You know, this is part of God's will for my life. And just because we're followers of Christ doesn't mean it's always going to be easy and rosy. In fact, I believe if you're seeking the Lord closely and seeking to really do ministry and mission for him, it will be tough at times. In fact, I love what Paul says here. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life, everyone who wants the idea of doing ministry, doing mission, in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. So persecution comes. Testings come. It's just a matter of fact for followers of Christ. And Paul's saying that here. That's part of the will of God to realize that, hey, things will get tough at times. And then Peter says, and I love what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. In other words, we're in company, okay? You follow that? And then I love verse 10 because I never really noticed this verse, and a friend of mine sent this to me at different times when he was encouraging me, and it says, and the God of grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, after things will... You're going to go through that. He says, while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I just love that. Hey, he's going to get me through. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to keep me steadfast and on focus of what I'm called to. So never be surprised that there's testings at times, that things can be hard. And just one more. Well, there'll be other verses, but one more verse here in the sermon. Look what Jesus tells us. I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Think about that. So Jesus is having this conversation. He says, hey, guys, I told you. And he's not saying, like, I told you so. He says, hey, it's not going to be easy. In me you have peace. This world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I'm in charge. So what a promise there as we think of this first point of our mission requiring following the will of Christ. Now, notice the examples Paul gives, and we've always touched on. First of all, he says, I'm a prisoner of the king. I'm a prisoner of the king. And where's me, as he talked about this, he said, notice he doesn't say I'm a prisoner or Caesar, okay? I had to say that. It was the will of Christ that took him to prison. His imprisonment didn't stop the mission of Christ. Now, I know I love safety, I love security, I love pleasures, but you know, sometimes it's a challenge to be on mission for God, and it's not easy. And I think a great application is, hey, God, send me anywhere. Send me to whatever you call me to. Use me. Just help me be available. And Paul, so good at, hey, just follow my example as I follow Christ, he said in 1 Corinthians. So he talks about a prisoner of the king, and then he goes on and he talks about being a shepherd of the people. And we see this in verse 13. We just see his loving heart. We see Paul's shepherd heart. And again, all of us are called to be shepherds, to care for those God puts in our little flock. It could be a family. I know now that we have grandkids, it's those grandkids. As one of your pastors, it's to the church family. But we're all shepherds and should have a shepherd's heart. And when I think of a shepherd's heart, I think of being a watchman. Being a watchman. And you know, David gives us a great example of being a watchman. In 1 Samuel 17, we see this. David said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. You know, David's saying, hey, I can take on Saul. You know, I'm called to this. And he says, I've taken care of God's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. So here's a quick story. This past week, we had the opportunity to be in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, with my daughter and her husband and four grandkids. It was a great time. But Friday evening, okay, I knew I had the sermon coming Sunday, and I'm watching this really good movie with the grandkids. I mean, the cartoons were just really good. I'm just sucking this in, and the Lord kind of just put in my spirit, you know, you really need to get a little more familiar with this sermon. So, to my disliking, I said, okay, I'm going to go upstairs and out on the porch, I guess it's a balcony, and go over the sermon. And I'm really glad I did. So I'm in my room, on the deck, and our car is parked out there, and I hear my wife and daughter outside, and they're like, just laughing and talking. So I go to the railing there, and I said, what are you guys doing? And they said, well, we're trying to find some of the toys we're gathering up because we're leaving in the morning. And my wife is kind of, we're in a little Honda van, and she's kind of like leaning in there. And I look out, and probably about 20 feet from her is this bear. It's a true story. I'm not making this up, Maynard, I promise. So there's this bear, and I say to my wife and daughter, I said, hey, there's a bear out there. Because my daughter said, Dad's joking, isn't he? Because I sometimes joke about that. But I wasn't joking. My wife could tell, you know, she needed to get in the van. So they jump in the van, and they get in there, and then they lock the door. So this bear moseys up to the van. I'm telling you, I couldn't make this up. And it starts to try to get in the van. In fact, here's a picture. She had just hit the clicker. Okay? So that bear goes to the other side. I mean, those bears are smart. And I'm glad that she locked it. And Now, this time my son-in-law comes out, and he's standing up there with me, and he's videoing all this, okay? So, the bear, I think I got one more. The bear then moseys down to the next campsite. Okay, look down there. The bear gets in their car. I mean, the car, it didn't want the Honda, it wanted the Lexus. Okay? So the bear gets in. Now they come outside and they're on their porch and they're yelling and screaming and saying, "Hey, hey," and then they start beeping their horn saying, "Hey." So the bear gets in there. All right? And then they start clanking and clanking, and the bear kind of moseys out. It didn't find anything. They said the bear didn't hurt anything in their van. And then the bear starts coming back to our campsite. So there it is on our campsite. Now looking for marshmallows and stuff. And then it goes back in the woods. Okay. And climactic, right? So I share that with you. But in all seriousness, as I think of this idea of being a watchman, okay, you know, I'm thankful that I listened to the Spirit, really, because, you know, I had 20 more minutes, watched the rest of the cartoons, but God said, you know, you need to, you know, get refreshed a little bit and read through. And I'm so glad that I could be that watchman. I was watching over my family. You know, it might have been a different story if I hadn't listened to the Spirit. Of course, I was very, very scared. So here's the thing. You're a watchman. We're to watch what's going on around us. Protector. You're a guard in that. You protect the sheep. You guide the sheep. And then you love the sheep. And again, the idea, when you think of the shepherd, it's to the leader of a local church. But we're all shepherds. We're all to be watching. We're to be lovers of the sheep. And Paul told us in Acts 20, 28, again, this is more of a passage to the church leader, but it fits all of us. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So there's that idea of just loving the sheep, to be an overseer of the sheep, to be paying attention. Hold firmly to the truths of God's word. Now, I think this would be a good spot to throw in a couple quick comments when we think of the will of God. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it tells us, God's will is that we should be sanctified, that we should avoid sexual immorality. So, God's will. Set your life apart, live a life that's committed and surrendered to him, and avoid sexual immorality. And then he tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Both of these in 1 Thessalonians. And God wants all of us to be thankful. And this is his will, to learn to be thankful people. So be sanctified people and to be thankful people. Just real specifics on God's will. So that's our first thought when we think of this part of our mission. We're required to follow the will of Christ. And then secondly, my mission requires knowing, understanding, and sharing the message of Christ. All right? And we see this in verses 2. Okay, here's this digression. And he talks about here that mystery that was there but now is known. He says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, and it has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. And then verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promised in Christ Jesus. So, Paul's talking here, okay, my responsibility, preach truth, teach truth, give the right message, focus on the And he refers to the mystery here. And the idea simply of this mystery is, hey, remember last week we talked about the Jew and Gentile, how the Gentiles were basically outcasts, and now they're part of the God. The mystery is, because the Old Testament didn't talk about this at all, what about the Gentiles? Everything was about the Jewish from Abraham in Genesis 12 all the way through, but nothing about the Gentiles. The mystery is, hey, now it's available to all. The mystery he speaks of is, you can be fellow members of the church when you receive him and receive the promise. It was hidden to past generations, but now it can be understood. We have this opportunity. We have the gospel available to us. You know, here's Paul 2,000 years ago. He's in this Roman prison, chained to a Roman guard, and now we can worship and understand who the true king is. We can have the message of the gospel change our lives. So it's important that we let that message change others hearing that message. That's being a good minister. We're to be able to share that. And it's important as our team's now on the way to West Africa that they share the message of hope with those they come in contact with. You know, a lot of times there's that feel-good gospel, that social gospel, but it's about life-changing and the message that Christ can change lives. That's our second thought. There's number three here. Following the mission of God has my mission that it must be overwhelmed by the grace of Christ. The Bible says in verse 7, I became a servant of the gospel. And Paul, because of what he was before Christ, remember he was a persecutor of believers. And Paul realized what he came from. He realized that he was the less than the least, verse 8 says. I'm less than the least of all saints. In other words, who am I that I can even share this message? You know, I'm like, you know, the lowest in the marketplace of sin. But God gives him the empowering grace. And that grace humbled Paul. You know, I think sometimes we get full of ourselves as followers of Christ. You know, what we have because of what God's given us. How God's blessed us as a church is just because God's chosen to bless us. It's nothing we've done. But it's important that we model and understand the grace that God's given us. And Paul loved grace. And it humbled him. As we think about this, remember who we were before Jesus. And recognize that it's the least we can do to serve our Lord. In fact, in Matthew 25, verse 20, it says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And I'd just like us to reflect for a minute. Who are the least in our life? Where are the least? You know, where are these that God's called us to serve? You know, sometimes it's easy to serve those who we think are special. But really, what about the less than the least that Jesus talks about? So we get to serve. In fact, that's one of our core values. We get to serve, and I think it's important that we just are reminded of this core value, and it's there on the screen. Okay, this is right on our church website. All those core values are there, but this is one that we talk about often, the idea of serving. We don't have to serve in kids' ministry. We get to serve. We don't have to serve the least. We get to serve the least, because you know what? We're all the least. We're not that special. We really aren't. And I want to read this to us. It says, we believe serving in the local body of Christ is not optional for those who follow Jesus, because our service is worship when it's done in a way that brings honor to him. The church, the church lifts Jesus Christ up as the perfect model for ministry and service and seeks to follow his example in daily service, thus fulfilling the second commandment, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. The church must not see itself as the served. Did you get that point? But as the service. servers. The church exists to serve unselfishly in the name of Jesus to meet the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of those in the church, community, and world. However, when it comes to serving God and people, obligation should not be our motivation. We were lost and dead when the love of God came and found us. Now we are alive and free. We don't serve because we have to or got to. We serve because we get to. I love that. Christian, good job on putting that together. Okay, he just lost his crown. Okay, here's the thing though. We get to do what we do. Oh, another Sunday. Oh, another week of kids ministry. Oh, another week of someone taking my parking place. Another week of someone taking my seat. You know, hey, I'm just glad someone's in my seat today. You know, you can hear better over here anyway. Here's the thing. We get to do what we get to do. So if we could just kind of reflect, when we think of this point this morning, where are some places that we can serve? And someone in your connect group or someone that you live with, you know, hey, where could we serve this week? Who could we serve this week? You know, a great opportunity of when we think of that idea of getting to serve. We get to serve. Now, there's three more. My mission, number four, my mission proclaims the immeasurable riches of Christ. And this is it, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. And then verse 9 says, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Now, proclaiming Jesus, that's, again, our focus, to proclaim him. God empowered Paul to proclaim the incalculable, unsearchable, incomprehensible riches of Christ. The boundless riches of Christ. He wanted to make Christ known. From persecutor of Christ, he's now consumed with the message, and now he wants to put God on display and give him glory. So that's what he is about, proclaiming Jesus. Proclaim Jesus. And then shedding light, verse 9. Make plain to everyone that idea of just letting our light shine. And, of course, it makes me think of that song we sang as little kids, This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. We're going to let it shine till Jesus comes. And Jesus verifies that song by telling us this in Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, as a follower of Christ, as believers in Christ, the light is within us. And boy, we should never hinder the light. You know, and we do that at different times. You know, if I don't have a good relationship with a fellow believer in Christ, you know, I'm hindering their walk and my walk and kingdom work. So the idea of this is to just do all we can to be in and in harmony with each other, so our light shine and show off Jesus to a lost and dying world. Never turn your light off. Never shade it. Never darken it. Never direct its beam. Love Jesus well. Model him well. We proclaim Jesus. We shed light. And then there's two more. A truth as part of our mission is to lift high the church, is to lift high the church. My mission lifts the church high. In fact, we see that in verses 10 and 11. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. A high view of Jesus means there's a high view of the church, of the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but we got a good church here. And it's a great place to be a part. And it's a great place, I believe, to get fed, to get encouraged. But we need to put the church on display. And again, it's all our responsibility. I know there's going to be transition. But the church is never about a pastor. The church is about Jesus and lifting him up. And we've been blessed, you know, with a good pastor. But as my mom used to say, Gary, no one's indispensable. How's that? I'll tell him that when he gets back tomorrow, too. I'll show him. But we lift high the church. We put him on display. And Paul's so good at this. You know, he showed us that last week. In chapter 4, he's going to talk about unity in the church. In chapter 5, he's going to talk about how Christ is the model for the church. And he loves the church, and he blesses through the local church. And it's important that we do all we can to let our light shine and put Jesus on display. He loves his bride, and everyone needs to proclaim him. We're part of a special place, and we're to put him on display. We're not to consume, we're to give. We're to give out the light. And then there's one more. They're all good, but this is a good one too. My mission requires drawing near to God through Christ. In him and through faith in him, verse 12, we may approach freedom and confidence. So we've reflected on the mystery. Now the new covenant has come. We can boldly come to Christ. Again, go to a mediator. We can just go directly to him. And I know we talked about this some last week, but I love this verse, this passage in Hebrews chapter 4. And we referred to this last week, but let's read it again. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, he's that high priest, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we, yet without sin. So, approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Isn't that great to think about? I can just go right to God. Now, sometimes it's good to pray with other people and just have connection in that, but just to go to God and share what's on your heart. If you're lonely, if you're sad, if you're in a broken relationship, God, it's me again. I need some help. I am a mess. You know, help me through. And it's so neat to think about this. In James, it says, draw near to God as he draws near to us. So I can be as close to him as I choose to be if I draw near to him, as I surrender to him. And Paul's heart, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Draw near to Christ as we serve others. Application. Never forget the truths from God's word. As individuals, follow the will of Christ. Know and share the message. Be overwhelmed with the grace. Lift high the and draw near to him. And then what goes in your blanks there is this. The call of the church, the call of the body of believers, identified in displaying the glory and wisdom of God in Christ. We are to work together on mission. God's plan for the church. Be involved. Let us pray. So Lord, thank you for the truths you give us in your word. I just pray that this has come across as a way that we can be encouraged, we can be better, that we can realize that we have this great opportunity to serve you, that we have a great opportunity to use our gifts in this local church. Because God, you made us for a mission. And Lord, help us realize too that it's not about us. It's about you. And we get to serve you, Lord, through this place. And I just pray that we would never, ever forget your unsearchable riches and how you have really given us who are less than the least of all saints, these riches. So God, go before us now as we have this opportunity to apply these truths to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.